Please turn your Bibles this morning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let us pray. Lord, we do run to your arms. We thank you for your loving embrace that is so far greater than any alcoholic beverage, any induced drug estate that this world can offer, any relationship that this world has. Nothing compares to you, Jesus. Nothing. So we worship you this morning. And Lord, as we look in this passage of Scripture that speaks about someone that is totally opposite of you, may we love you even more and not be deceived in the days ahead, but trust in you and obey you. Our faith is in you, the living Lord. It's in the name above every name, our Lord and Savior's name, we pray. That's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the first four verses we looked at last Sunday, and we're going to read them again this morning. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, as we continue to preach and teach through 1 and 2 Thessalonians, that speaks of the Lord's return. Verse 1, now brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or trouble, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. The man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. So we are not to be shaken in mind or troubled. No matter what is said on our television, no matter how many hour-long specials they have about the paganistic calendars of this world, or what the ancients said about the Lord's return, or the end of the age, or the end of the world, you and I, as born-again believers, trust the Scriptures of the Holy God. And that's the only thing we trust. That's the only thing we look to when it speaks of the Lord's return. So don't be shaken. Jesus said, some will say, here's Christ, and there is Christ, and many will come in His name, but don't be troubled. Stay with what the Scriptures say about the Lord's return. So, we are told about the Lord's return that there are some events that must take place before Jesus comes back. I want to cover them with you this morning. Before the second coming, first of all, the gospel will be preached to the whole world. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Mark chapter 3, verse 10. And you and I, as Southern Baptists, we send missionaries all over the world. Today we have communications by satellite. And people can hear the gospel message if they want to. They can tune in and hear the gospel. So the message will be sent to all the world. Secondly, the great apostasy mentioned in Matthew chapter 24, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and here in 2 Thessalonians, the falling away and the falling away from the truth. But there'll be a great apostasy occurring. So, has the gospel been preached to the whole world? And is there a falling away? Number three, The revelation of the man of sin. He will be revealed as mentioned in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 9, and here in 2 Thessalonians. When he is revealed, when he steps out on the world stage. And this passage that we're looking at this morning describes him more than any other passage in Scriptures. And we're going to be getting into that in a moment. Fourth, the removal of the one who restrains here in 2 Thessalonians. That must occur. Also, there'll be a Jewish revival, as mentioned in Zechariah and in Romans chapter 11, and the full number of the Jews and Gentiles will be saved, the full number. These things must occur according to the Scriptures before the Lord's return. Everyone say, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. So let no one deceive you. In verse 3 it says, again, do not be deceived by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. So there will be a falling away. We looked at this last Sunday. Going to mention it again today. A falling away or the apostasy does not necessarily mean it'll be an anti-God or an anti-supreme being. Or it does not mean that there will not be religion. The Antichrist will be a religious person and even will have a religious prophet that speaks on his behalf. That's pretty religious, isn't it? There's a lot of worshiping happening in the tribulation, it says in Revelation. So this falling away, it must be from the way, the truth, and the life, who is Jesus Christ. Some way you can fall away and be apostatized is to say that you can be saved and live like the devil. Not with no repentance. It's a gospel of no repentance. Another way to fall away is to say, yes, there's Jesus, and yet there's other ways. All roads lead home. That's a heresy. There's only one way. His name is Jesus, the Son of God. And if you teach any other way of righteousness apart from His shed blood, there remains no more sacrifice for sin for you. It says in Hebrews. If you sin willfully. So, another way to fall away is to trust in humanism and human effort, and if we just evolve enough, we will be like God ourselves. So there'll be a great falling away, and with all of these, you can be very religious with it. The devils believe there's a holy God, and they tremble at the thought. So this apostasy, a falling away, will occur. A falling away from the gospel message that Jesus and only Jesus, His shed blood on the cross, can save from sins. A falling away from that. Let's read on now in 2 Thessalonians. Again in verse 3, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now you're going to notice when it speaks of the Antichrist, he's going to copy who? Christ. Christ has been revealed. By the way, there's no new prophecy. The final revelation between God and man is Jesus Christ. The people who teach that there can be new revelation is very heretical according to the Scriptures. But he's going to copy Christ. Just like Christ was manifested in the flesh, this Antichrist will be revealed. He'll be a person, it says. the son of perdition or the lawless one. Verse 4. Listen to what he does. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship. So he will oppose the law of God. He will oppose everything about the holy God of the Bible. So that not only will he oppose God, but he's going to want to be worshipped. So that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, the temple of God, the Hebrew temple, does not have a place to sit. Is this a literal temple? I believe the temple of God is the human heart, as it teaches in the New Testament. Will there be a literal temple built and the Antichrist will sit in that? I do not know. But I do know this. If Christ is not on the throne of your heart today, when the Antichrist is revealed, you will follow him. Because Christ is not in his rightful place now. So he will sit as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So this Satan incarnate, we have other descriptions of him in Revelation. I'd like to go with you on that just for a moment before we read on. First of all, the beast from the sea, as described in Revelation, he will have a fatal wound and will be healed and he will live after this fatal wound to the head, it says in Revelation. Also, he will have a title. As mentioned, it is the one who is like the beast will be the title. Who is like him? No one compares to him. Also, this Antichrist will perform great signs and do miracles. Again, very spiritual, but not everything that is spiritual is of God. Not everything that is religious is of God. Also, he gives an identity mark to his followers. He will have a following. There's a following of his. And we read in Revelation, it's the number of man, 666. And I have just a few moments. We covered this a lot on Sunday nights. But if you looked at your driver's license or military, your ID card or, you know, and look at all that, there's a barcode. You can't go to the store unless they run across a machine. Your animals, if they're worth anything to you, you got a computer chip in them where they can locate them. And wouldn't it make sense that if we can stop the identity theft and have our bank accounts, and to buy and to sell and to be able to locate our children if they are stolen and be able to locate them just like that. And be able to locate our military when they're overseas in combat and be able to do all of that with just a computer chip in our hand or in our forehead. Now, wouldn't that make sense to the world? So there'll be an identity. Number the beast will give to his followers. But again, it says here in Thessalonians, showing himself that he is God. Who's on the throne of your heart? Who do you bow down and call God? I hope it's Jesus. Verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining. Verse 6, that is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And this mystery, it says in 1 John, the spirit of Antichrist is already at work. That was 2,000 years ago. Any spirit that denies that Jesus is the Christ is Antichrist. Any spirit that says he is not Lord is Antichrist. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one, verse 9, is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So this Antichrist, the beast from the sea, will have signs and lying wonders. Do not be deceived. If it is not according to Scripture, it's not of God. Stay with the Scriptures. I don't care how miraculous or what kind of signs is shown. It's Jesus and his shed blood on the cross that gives us salvation, nothing else. I don't care how many groups of people will tell you different. God's Word says Jesus and him crucified for righteousness. Power, signs, and lying wonders. Verse 10. And with all unrighteous deception. To have unrighteous deception must be without the blood of Jesus. Unrighteous deception must be something without the blood of the Lamb of God, shed before the foundation of the world. And in Revelation, all of heaven and earth bows before the Lamb slain. And give him glory. Why is he called the Lamb? Because that's who you and I have fallen in love with. The Lamb that shed his blood. But unrighteous deception must be something that says righteous apart from the Lamb. Deceived among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So this Antichrist is revealed. Not only does he oppose the things of God, but he wants to be worshipped. Now, the good news this morning. God is in control. Everyone say amen. God is in control and will always be in control. Jump back up to verse 7 with me. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So right now, the lawless one is restrained. I've read scholars think that say that Satan has his man in the wings at all times through the centuries because Satan does not know God's timing. But I do know this. The one who restrains is, this is a masculine gender. In Revelation, there are angels that God sends and to loose things and to do things. It could, and when it speaks of angels of God, it's always a masculine gender. When it speaks of the Holy Spirit of God, it's a masculine gender in the Scriptures. Either or, God is in control, and Satan cannot let this man go until God allows it. The one who restrains. The church, by the way, is always the bride. The bride. It's not a he. So the one who restrains, a mighty angel or the Holy Spirit of God, and if it's the Holy Spirit, does not mean the Holy Spirit is totally removed, because there are people who will not bow to the beast and worship his image in Revelation. And they belong to God, and they will be martyred in the tribulation. But God is in control. And when Jesus comes back, the faithful and true one, riding on that white horse, and in righteousness he will judge. He will consume this Antichrist, this lawless one, this who opposes the things of God and wants to be worshipped as God. He will be consumed with the brightness of His coming. Everyone say hallelujah. God is in control, not Satan, and not Satan incarnate, the beast, the Antichrist, the lawless one. Now, in light of this, what are you and I to do? Today, receive the love of the truth. Let's read it again, verse 10. Speaking of the Antichrist, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The love of the truth is Jesus, saved by His grace and faith in Him. That's it. That's the love. God demonstrated His love toward you and I, that while we were yet sinners, children of wrath, dead in sin and trespasses, while we were yet that, and a friend of the world, God demonstrated His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. That's the love of the truth. That's not unrighteous deception. That is righteousness of Christ that can be placed on your behalf. You can be accounted as righteous as Abraham by faith in what Christ done on the cross. Receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, and that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Pleasure apart from Christ and His shed blood. Romans chapter 1 gives a description of people who would not simply believe the general revelation of God. And it gives them over to a reprobate mind to do the things that their hearts desired to do. Strong delusions like Pharaoh's heart. The Bible says Pharaoh's heart, he hardened his heart, and it also says God hardened his heart. God will allow you to go on in your sin if that's what your heart wants. If you take pleasure in unrighteousness and all this deception of the spirit of Antichrist, if that's what tickles your fancy, God says go ahead. But the day's coming. The day is coming. But today, if you will believe by faith and trust the love of the truth, trust Jesus, by faith, repenting of your sins and turning to Him by faith, the Word of God says that He'll save you. If you'll confess Jesus as your Master, call Him Lord, which means Master of your life and nothing else, and your allegiance and your life will belong to Jesus, and you'll do that by faith, God says He will save you. That's what God says, not me. Will you do that this morning? The day's coming. The day's coming. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your precious Word. We do thank You for the stern warnings of Scripture, and yet we do thank You for the love of our Savior that is pleading and wooing by His Holy Spirit. God, may we tend to eternal things at this time. Help us not to be deceived, but believe the truth. We give Him praise, our Jesus, our Savior. Amen.